This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Happy Memorial Day to you all. If you are out and about, we are indeed here, and we are indeed live right now. I'm going to talk about the Dallas Mavericks. What specific position, player, or area would you like to see the Mavs upgrade? 877-881-1053. But before we get to that, as long as we're talking about basketball, I have to say the number one thing on my mind this morning is, of course, that I got to see Mike Bassick's collection of Luka and Dirk graded rookie cards, which was magical. In fact, led to a direct quote from me that, guys, do you need anything else? Because I'm about to tune out for a little bit so I can just look through this box of cards. So I just needed to make sure our run sheet was good because I was about to go off into my own little world.
This has been the best going to KNC Masterpiece, as I have a sports card collecting friend now. As obviously as an adult, you usually don't have a lot of friends where you're like, hey, you still collecting baseball or basketball or football cards? I mean, 99% of the time the answer is no, I am not. I'm an adult.
One of my best friends in the world, which I really hope he's not listening right now, this is just going to blow up the entire spot, is he's going to be one of my groomsmen, and I'm going to get him a box of cards for his groomsman gift. I was like, I'm going to do a little different here. Let's do that. And I was talking to his wife about it, and she's like, oh, yeah, I think that's a great idea. You should definitely do that. So, yeah, absolutely. Your collection is incredible. So when I'm curious, did you, because you started collecting Luka like almost from the jump,
right?
What about with Dirk though? Because he did not have like this. He did not barnstorm the NBA the same way that Luka did.
A little bit, but by 2001, so yes, a lot. So after he has his kind of breakout in his second season, where he averages 17.5 points and 6 rebounds, I think most of the Metroplex, I don't know, but I would say most of the Metroplex realizes, hey, we actually drafted a special player here. For the first time in forever,
yeah,
we drafted a special player. And then you got to the playoffs and you beat the Utah Jazz. And in games 3 and 4, Dirk goes off for, I think he had 24 at halftime in game 3. And I know it was, who was it? Game 3. Oh, it's Steve Nash. Steve Nash hits the game-winning shot. So you're up the whole game. John Stockton, just giving a little history lesson, he hits a shot for the Utah Jazz to go up, and the Mavericks had been leading the whole game, and then Nash comes back and hits a shot with, I don't know, 15 seconds to go to go back up by one. They win the game. And then Dirk comes out, and you blow out the Utah Jazz, and he has a great game 4, gets in foul trouble in game 5, and then has a nice – he's part of the comeback.
Yeah,
you know, and obviously it's Michael Finley passing to Calvin Booth. Calvin Booth had a really nice fourth quarter in that game. And then he goes off for 42-16 in game 5 against the San Antonio Spurs. That's when I was like, I have to get this kid's stuff. And I had like, Dirk is the real deal. What he just did against Karl Malone, what he just did against Tim Duncan and David Robinson, and he got his teeth knocked out and came back in that game in game 4 and had a really good game, and that was the one game the Mavericks won. That's when I knew I have to get as much Dirk stuff as I can because he's the real deal.
All right. And I obviously, like I said, I know you've been on the Luka bandwagon collecting those cards from the jump.
Can't collect them anymore. They're too expensive to collect.
Man, I'm telling you, I can absolutely see that. So we move into Luka and the current Mavericks. We're all excited about the potential of the NBA season starting back up and pretty much getting to the playoffs immediately, sooner rather than later. So this might not be like, obviously, for this season, but I'm saying in the offseason, right, and going forward, whether it's a player, specific position, or area, since I know we've moved a lot more to positionless basketball, where would you like to see the Mavericks upgrade? Because specific player, I've got somebody in mind, but I want to go to you first.
Well, first of all, I'm going to throw this out. Autoflex Leasing Fantex. I don't think there's a wrong answer here. If you feel like it's a point guard, I can see your point. If you feel like it's a wing player, I can see your point. And if you feel like it's a big man, I can see your point. For me, I look at it in the way the NBA is going and has been going. I would love to get somebody who's somewhere between that like 6'5 to 6'9 wing player that is not just 3-and-D. That would be good. Don't get me wrong. That'd be good. But I would like for that person to be able to create at times on his own. Because right now, when rewatching a lot of these Mavs games, Tim Hardaway Jr. is a really solid player, especially if you watch kind of the games that were more near the end of the run of this season rather than the beginning, because he struggled in the beginning.
Yeah.
Is he doesn't do a good job of creating on his own. When he does that, he turns into the New York Knicks player that everybody was like, he is getting paid way too much money. He's not that good of a player.
Yeah.
And he's just trying to create a shot that is not a good shot, and he misses it a lot. So it's like, if you want to put him as your 3-and-D guy, he's actually really good at that when he's a more of a catch-and-shoot guy than a create-on-his-own guy. So for me, I would lean towards a guy that is 6'5 to 6'9, that is a wing player, plays solid defense, and can create on his own at times.
So the person that I have in mind hits most of those categories. He's probably a little bit shorter than what you would be hoping for, is Bradley Beal.
Right. I would love him too. He's an all-star.
So I think, ideally you'd line him up at the two. He's too short to go out on the wing, but he is somebody who can create for himself. And he is somebody who can play defense. Sometimes I wonder about his motivation level to play defense. But when he is properly motivated, he is a damn good defender when he's properly motivated. And so that's why I was fat. You know what's, do you think the fact that your answers could go so far across the spectrum has to do with Luka and the fact that you do not have that traditional point guard? Because like normally you wouldn't say upgrade a point guard because you've got Luka. Well, then again, if you want to tell me that Luka is actually your 3 or maybe even your 4 who also runs the point, I would buy that. Do you think that's why there's so much variety of things that you might look for?
I do. And also Porzingis, yes, he plays the 4-5, but he's a unique 4-5 player too. He's not just like Jokic is a 5. There's nothing. Jokic does. He's a triple-double guy. He's awesome. But he's pigeonholed pretty much into one position because he can't guard anybody else.
Yeah.
Where Porzingis, I've really been impressed with Porzingis's defensive ability. I just had a feeling going into the season, just watching New York Knicks highlights, listening to the criticism, that he's a horrible rebounder and a bad defensive player.
He's rebounded better than he ever has.
He's actually a good rebounder, and I will say a solid defender, obviously at blocking shots. He's one of the best in the NBA, but you can't just say, hey, just wherever Porzingis is, find him, and it should be an automatic 2 points. Now, I will say that's more Luka. If you do find Luka, you can almost, if you have a good offensive player, almost isolate Luka and go, we should get 2 points out of this situation. So
does that hurt you to say, Mike?
Not at this point. It will hurt me 2-3 years from now. If we're in year 4, year 5 of Luka and we're like, just isolate Luka, it's an automatic 2 points, kind of like people isolate James Harden. Yep. And James Harden's an MVP. But I'm like, man, if we're going to be a championship team, I don't feel like Luka, your best player, you can just say, just isolate him or try to get him in a situation and he's going to give up 2 points almost every time. So as of right now, I will say I love Bradley Beal. I'm going to throw this back at you, though, because Bradley Beal has kind of been a number two player on his team with John Wall.
Yeah.
Is it important to you that whoever this guy is understands that he can never be the best player on this team?
Yes. I 100% think that, because you mentioned somebody in James Harden, and then obviously I think about Russell Westbrook and the complex dynamic of how that can overtake that you have the best talent. Like, you can look back now and say, look, I love the Mavericks and I love Dirk, but you look at the ascension of Russ, KD, and Harden, and there's no reason that that group shouldn't have just backed up the championship truck. But all the confusion, all the argument about who is the man, that can be bad. That's where somebody like I think somebody like Bradley Beal is good, just like I thought bringing in somebody like Kristaps was good, because they're used to being the man, right? And right now, Bradley Beal is used to becoming the man. But you know what he's also used to? His team being one of the worst in the NBA. And I think, at least this is just me, I don't know the inner workings of Bradley Beal, but I think you're starting to see how Kristaps works. He didn't need to be the man.
Right.
He needed to win. And that's why he hated the Knicks. And if Bradley Beal goes, hey, that's fine, I'll be your second, I'll be your third, but I'll help you win a championship because I want to be on a team that doesn't suck, then I'm like, okay, great, come on board.
Go ahead, Reggie.
It's interesting that you term it that way, because I remember, like, there's a quote that John Wall made that was actually pretty big, where he talks about him being one and Bradley Beal being 1A, kind of like they have this sharing of the spotlight, but also this inherent understanding that Bradley Beal is kind of a step down there. But what I thought was interesting is, in everything you guys have said, I feel like you've danced around what the actual answer for what you've put forward is, which is like that non-Kristaps big. I feel like this team is a lot better when Kristaps plays the five, and then thus you need that maybe like a power forward type player that can stretch, that can do all the things that end up gluing you together in a championship team, like maybe a Sean Marion or a Draymond Green ends up doing.
Okay, that was going to be one of my next people, I think, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because I don't have a specific human being in mind.
Right.
Is why I gravitate more towards Bradley Beal. Because I agree with you 100% that the qualities you just described is very important. Because if nothing else, put all of that aside, they lack front court depth.
And defensive prowess.
Oh, 100%. All of that is true. I'm just more concerned, even from a numbers standpoint, that I could use somebody. But I don't have somebody specific in mind. And I think that's why I gravitate towards Bradley Beal, is because what I want is some front court depth that can also defend. But I also want that person that I believe can be my second or third star, depending on where you want to slot Kristaps, because the conversation that we had last week about THJ being your championship four, like your championship fourth best player. And that's why I think I gravitate towards a little bit of the star power that I know fits in with what we want here. But you are 100% right. That is also on my list of things that I want, is I want a big that can play defense. Because again, like we discussed with Kristaps, you have a very non-conventional player. You could tell me you could not easily see the lineup where your giant point guard is really playing the three and your 7'3" big is playing the four. You know, and like, so you have other pieces and your center is 6 inches shorter than your four, because that's just the way basketball is going. I just need to spend more time thinking about like which specific people that I would want to try to make a run at, because I came enamored with the Bradley Beal deal. He's almost like, you know what? He's my version of Jamal Adams, where I think people like me are like, why don't you shut up about it already? But I'm so invested in it. So I apologize for people who are tired of talking about Bradley Beal. I get it.
I do think this, and Bradley Beal is kind of the gold standard. That would be getting a guy that you'd say, hey, probably better than Porzingis. And Porzingis has had a solid year this year. But you'd be like, okay, now Porzingis is our third guy, which is going to be very tough to pull off for the Dallas Mavericks, right?
Oh,
and when
yeah.
I said everybody has to come in and realize they're the number two guy to Luka, if they got the Greek Freak through free agency, then we'd have to sit down Luka and be like, Luka, you're awesome, but the Greek Freak is better, and so you're going to have to be the number two guy on this, hopefully, multi-championship team that we've created now.
One would
Greek
hope
Freak.
In this scenario.
Yes. Now, I'm going to throw out other people that interests me, being specific, because I do think Bradley Beal is almost impossible to get for the Dallas Mavericks. I hope I'm wrong on that, but I'm going to throw out a guy like Buddy Hield.
Yeah, somebody brought him up on the text from the 817. What about Buddy Hield? Yeah, Buddy Hield is interesting to me too, because it felt like after what, the first, I don't know, year or two, people had kind of decided, they're like, eh, I don't think he's going to make it. And then he was like, hey, check this out. Yeah. And then he like had his pushback. And obviously he's been really good with Sacramento, his ability to shoot from the outside.
And Sacramento
when
unhappy.
His coach doesn't neuter him.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're unhappy with him in Sacramento. That's why he could be gettable. Now, the other team that we've talked about through quarantine, which is going to be really interesting, is the Bulls are a very disappointing team after they've not done a bad job of drafting where their spot is in the draft. They've actually done a good job if you look at where they drafted and who they drafted and then the players after.
They got your wing stud ready to go.
So Zach LaVine is a 6'6", super athletic, can create on his own. Like, that would be a guy if I'm calling up and for the Washington Wizards and they're like, look, we're not trading Bradley Beal for some of your spare pieces and the 17th overall pick. We're just not doing that. I wonder if you could call up, and this goes to Reggie's point of maybe the bigger guy is, what if they're like, look, we have to make Lauri Markkanen happier, and maybe they think that after a year and a half or approximately 2 years, Wendell Carter Jr. isn't the perfect guy to have, whatever. Like, I wouldn't mind Wendell Carter Jr. becoming, I know he doesn't stretch the floor great, but I just wonder if there's a lot more ability there. And the Mavericks said if they had the fifth pick, if they couldn't have pulled off the Luka trade with the fifth pick, they were going to take Wendell Carter Jr. That was going to be the player they were going to take. So we know that the Mavericks did like Carter Jr. a lot out of college, that he was going to be the fifth pick in the draft in the trade that they made up for Luka. So I'm just wondering with Markkanen, Zach LaVine, Wendell Carter Jr., Chicago could be a team that looks to mix it up when the offseason happens.
All right. That's interesting, because I think of all the players on the Bulls, I think the most interesting one is for the Mavs, of course, if you throw away the contract makes this really tough, is Otto Porter Jr. Right, like this is a guy that people don't think about, but I think he does some of the things that you're looking for, where he's going to play the four, he can maybe play the three in a big lineup, he's going to be kind of a big that's going to clog the paint a little bit.
He's going to scrap for you.
He's going to scrap for you. He can nail a three, especially in the corner if you need him to, and he's not going to be a player that views himself as your top player.
I also think he is the most gettable for you.
Mm-hmm.
And like, look, I think Carter would make an interesting pairing with Markkanen, because you would flip the role of, like, I've always said, I thought Carter would make the prototypical 1980s power forward. And so, like, is his way of playing basketball kind of being phased out? Maybe, but if you pair him up next to Markkanen, who's a giant three-point shooting 7'3" guy, then maybe that combination would work. I would be all about selling out for LaVine. I think he is easily the Bulls' best player, and we'll hear nothing different. But Porter might be the best fit, which would be super convenient because he's the most gettable of those three.
Only problem is he makes $28 million next year.
And that's why he's the most gettable. because they're like, oh, yeah, sure, shut up and we'll take your money. So if they can figure out a way to make that work, I would be intrigued by that because I think he could fit and go pretty quick.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.